Welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Iron Man.
You're Dominic
you
Man.
Wish.
Yes, I'm Iron Man.
I'm not letting you get along. No. You do not see Iron Man.
You do not get to be Iron Man if you don't see the panel.
You're Cleveland.
I'm Cleveland Brown.
Not much to be proud about. Who's next?
I am Chris Nguyen.
I'm Lita Cho.
I am here.
He's Sung Lee.
And I am Amy.
All right, so you guys might notice that we have six speakers here. That's because we're using our new mixing board.
Upgrade!
With six inputs. We've been using it for the past few days. This is the first time we've actually had everyone here.
Six mics!
It is the final day of San Diego Comic-Con, so...
No, Sunday.
All your favorites are here, and Dom.
One day when you guys have kids, it'll count. It'll be the prime time.
Hey, Sunday was the day they first put up Avatar. Remember back in those days?
You guys can't see this because this is a podcast, but I am not at the table. There's no room for me at
you
the
have
table.
You've been banished.
To the bed. Lonely in this bed.
So we are sitting around a round table. Unfortunately, it's not as large as the night.
I wish you could join us.
Yeah, all I've been doing is providing 50% of our content during this Comic-Con.
You're the lady of the lake.
So why don't we go around and everyone talk about what you did on Saturday, the biggest day of Comic-Con. Let's hope there weren't any disappointed hearts or broken dreams. Speaking of
should
those,
we go by panel?
Chris, I can't believe you're here.
We're not expecting
you here, but we understand that you love the sound of my voice so much you decided to fly down here.
Oh, it's just honey to my ears, Kevin.
All right, so what did you do today?
Today we saw one panel. I guess it was like Joker. Is the Joker insane? And it was kind of boring. So
you mean the guy didn't just come up to the table and said yes and then left?
No, they tried to milk it for what it's worth, but nothing really came out of it. So we just browsed. Me and my friends browsed the dealer's hall for a bit, then went to the voice actors panel.
How was that? Like, I wanted to go to that, but it was a small thing, and we were stuck in Hollywood. I should talk more about that later. But how was it overall?
It was actually pretty fun. I mean, each of the voice actors kind of, talked about what they had to do. We arrived sort of late, and I didn't recognize any of them. So, but I mean, they went through, they asked what was their best job, I guess, or, best voice work or whatnot. And then they went to a cold reading, I guess, of, old radio drama of Superman. I guess the first one, Superman. So they all had different parts, and that was kind of
cool.
Yeah, seeing that. And then, waited for
Iron Man 2.
Yeah, Iron Man 2.
tell us about that.
No,
tell us about that.
It didn't fail utterly. If it had failed utterly, we would have been way back in line.
But then you would have known.
We failed barely.
We barely failed.
That's true.
Well, I think, isn't that the worst part, though? Like, when you get cut off right at the...
Yeah. Yes,
yeah,
the loses. Thanks for for rubbing
second
salt
place
in our wound.
Yeah. First loser.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You ain't first, you're last, Ricky Bobby.
So basically, Dom, Chris, Sung... And I waited for Iron Man 2 for close to 3 hours in the hot blazing sun.
We saved seats for you. We did.
So actually, Dom, Chris, Sung, and I ended up waiting close to 3 hours in line to get into Hall H. And we got cut off, really, we were the last people to not get into the air-conditioned waiting area inside of Hall H. And so, I got a nice sandal tan.
Oh, no.
Wait. It was awesome.
I worked on tanning my shoulders.
Wait, so, if you got into the air-conditioned place, would you still have gotten into Hall H?
Probably not,
but
we would have been air-conditioned and out of the sun.
Oh, that sucks. I didn't know the line was that bad.
Yeah. Oh, we were so close.
You know the line was that bad.
The thing is, when you're outside and once you get in, you're in the hall. Like, I didn't know the line was, there's a line inside.
They were doing that just to let at least some people out of the heat.
And they cut it off right at us. We were first in line to get into the air-conditioned waiting area. So instead, we just ended up roasting for close to 3 hours. And then at the end of 3 hours, it was 4 o'clock, Iron Man 2 panel started, and
we were just like, what? All right, let's get out of here.
Like, we should tell the story about why we ended up there, and Kevin and Lita got in.
Oh, right.
Lita got in. Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you got it.
Yes, you got it.
Would you like to pour more salt in my wound?
No, I didn't. I thought
what?
I got into Iron Man 2.
What was this?
Okay, I'm sorry. But can we start at the first thing? Can we talk about Chuck, the good stuff? Like okay. The beginning days.
All right, so we started our morning at the Chuck panel, which was absolutely awesome.
It was great. I want to watch the show now. I never seen it.
I almost got in, but the problem was that I had a promise with Dave Kellett of Sheldon to head there the very first thing in the morning as soon as the dealer's room opened and go over to him and get an interview out of him. And, you know, we spent a very nice 50 minutes just talking about
stuff.
So when by the time it had gotten to 9:45, I'm like, I'm not going to get in, am I?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's why we got you the ticket to get in.
I got in for at least Family Guy, which was fun.
Okay.
So yeah. Anyway,
Family Guy was great. Chuck was great. The Jeffster band opened up for the panel, which was awesome.
It was probably, actually, I have to say, it was the best opening to any panel I've been to.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. It's actually one of the strongest of the television panels I've ever seen at Comic-Con as well.
And so I'm sure that it'll be a DVD extra for season 2 or season 3, right?
I'm sure you'll find it online somewhere, because there were people recording the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'm sure they will probably include it as a DVD extra.
Well, you know what? I was surprising was that I didn't know the third season was that much of a big deal that people got it. Like, that when I saw the intro.
Oh, it was a pretty big deal.
I had no idea.
Because we were almost certain it was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
It was funny. They were like, we're going to run out of ideas. It was supposed to be canceled.
It is one of those shows that have a lot of diehard fans.
Yeah, that's true. Like the whole Twitter campaign. And
yeah, I even retweeted all those Save Chuck things on Twitter.
Yeah.
In Subway.
Well, I didn't even have a Twitter when that happened, so I had no idea. There was all those crazy people who...
So I unfortunately missed out on Chuck, but I think I'll live.
Yeah. And so Family Guy was funny. I mean, the cast of Family Guy.
A good chunk of it, yeah.
And then there was the Cleveland show.
Well,
let's talk about Family Guy a little more. We saw the Empire.
But I want to gripe about the Cleveland show.
Cleveland show?
Anyway.
I want to say that they showed their next Star Wars episode for Family Guy.
Which was awesome.
There's the Empire Strike Back. It was very good looking. Some of the jokes, a lot of the jokes fell flat, but there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
Like, the opening crawl that they have was hilarious.
It was brilliant.
Can I say something, one thing about the Chuck panel before?
Yes, sure, before we continue with Family Guy.
Well, what was surprising was that they were really receptive to their fans after they saved them. They were, like, writing stuff down, like, that's a good idea, write it down. Oh my god, that's great.
I think that was also their way of dodging any questions about Season 3. Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's actually probably because not all of Season 3 is written.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, the whole that's a great idea thing is usually the sign that they're dodging a question.
Actually, the first time they actually did it, which they were talking about, what if Chuck, you know, was a little bit disabled after using his powers,
was actually a great idea.
Yeah. I was actually wondering whether they had thought about that or not. I'm sure they did.
Oh, he has the Ultraman thing going?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, but another thing that I was thinking about was that, Lita, why wouldn't they be thankful to their fans after their fans saved them?
Right.
Well, they did this whole playing it off like we were totally not expecting it, and now we're kind of worried about what we're gonna do.
When I heard about this, I was a little envious that you guys got to see that, especially the part where he puts on the stormtrooper helmet and just starts bashing himself against the desk.
Yeah. Now they have like a whole site for the fans so that they can have more connection.
Yes,
with
I think it's www.chuckmeout.com.
Chuckmeout.com.
Yeah, check. Yeah.
Well, very cool then.
Yeah.
I'll go look at that.
Awesome.
Yeah, all right. So going back to Family Guy, I got to ask you guys, did they actually show just clips of the Something Dark Side episode or the whole thing?
They showed a good 10 minutes.
They showed the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. It starts with them on Hoth, and they go through most of the Hoth thing.
Cool. Awesome. Wait, this is a new episode that never been released?
Yeah. They said that they're hopefully want to get out by December, I think.
Yeah, they're trying to get it out by the holiday.
But they said that's an ambitious goal.
If it's already made, what's the
point? It's not done. They showed us the first 10 minutes.
Oh, I see.
And they're like, this isn't the final mix. There's a few effects we could probably redo, but we're showing it to you.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
They need to get it out in time so they can sell some of those special box sets for Christmas.
I have been to Family Guy panels in the past, and before it's always been, you know, some of the producers and writers, and then Seth MacFarlane. This time they actually had a good number of the cast.
Yeah, they had Mila Kunis, they had Seth Green, and Alex Borstein.
Mila Kunis was...
Oh yeah, because she was here also for Extract.
Which I also wanted to see.
You didn't miss much. Years before too, like she was here for Sarah Marshall, but she didn't go to the Seth to the Family Guy panel.
What did she play?
She plays Meg.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, so the thing is
I'll say that one of the disappointing things, and it kind of was recurring throughout the panels, was that they didn't ask any of the cast members any questions. It was all just for Seth MacFarlane.
Really? That's the opposite.
What a loss of opportunity.
Yeah, well, we didn't get a chance to ask that many questions.
There were only like 5 questions, and 3 of them were people who thought they were funny, and Seth MacFarlane's like,
This isn't an effing audition.
Get out.
He's like, what did I tell the guy before you? This is not an effing audition. And then they got kicked off the mic.
Yeah. Wow. But one thing that was awesome was that it's like, do you guys really enjoy working together, or is there someone, you know, William Shatner style that you hate to work with? And then, at that point, Seth Green starts hugging the other cast members, and then he and Alex Borstein exchange just this look, and they start making out.
And then they fell
behind the table.
And then Mila Kunis joined in. And then there were legs and limbs and everything flailing around.
And then Seth Green got up, grabbed his water bottle, and then disappeared back
underneath the table. And then they all came back up, straightening their clothes. And then Seth Green was buckling his belt.
Nice. That's brilliant. That part
was worth it. And that and the Empire part.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so weird, because when I saw her, Mila Kunis, she looked so stiff. But that's awesome that you got to
see really her. Stiff during the Extract panel, which is for the new Mike Judge film. Jason Bateman was there. Kristen Wiig didn't show up because she was busy still finishing something else earlier in the day. So that was kind of a disappointment, since that's the person we really wanted to see for that panel.
Yeah, I really didn't want to see her.
See Jason Bateman.
But I've also seen Mila Kunis at Who concert for one of the VH1 Rock Honors, and she couldn't even like read her lines. And then when she flubbed, everyone was like, boo. And she was like, oh, shut up. And I was like, okay.
So the thing is that Mila Kunis was, at least in this case, surrounded by people she's comfortable with. You know, I mean, if you got her back with Topher Grace and Ashton Kutcher and all that 70s show cast, she'd still be that comfortable, right?
No, I was just thinking that she's probably not a good actress. That's why.
Oh!
I will give her the benefit of the doubt, because I really loved her role in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and that's one of my favorite films from last year.
I was thinking of Kristen Bell. Like, I've seen her in multiple panels, and she is very good, like, up there in the panels.
She's
very appreciative and very talkative.
But yeah, I mean, I figure it's just a matter of comfort level, but who knows?
Right.
I really think that Kristen Bell and Zachary Levi should have a show together, and then they can have a panel together.
Oh, that
would be fantastic.
I thought you were about to say they should have kids together.
That'd be good too.
Pausing there.
That's fine.
But then Amy wouldn't be able to have Zach Levi's kids.
I know.
Zach Levi's really cool.
As long as Kristen Bell is always going to be like, Kevin, man, when are you going to be available?
I bet Kevin play like Xbox with him, and he didn't even know. Because he apparently plays games all the time.
Yeah, he does.
Levi?
Yeah.
And Joshua Gomez.
Yeah.
Nice. Joshua Gomez has some crazy facial hair.
Yes, he has.
He has like a Wookiee going on in his skin.
It has to be for season 3. I think they're doing something with the beards.
I bet you they
both left the Buy More and they couldn't find a job, so they have to go back.
That's why they're growing it out.
The thing is, Zach Levi, I've noticed like between every season, he always grows a beard.
Oh, all right.
Just to do it? Yeah, even when you watch the DVD extras of season 1, he has a beard.
I think it's to prevent people from thinking he's 16.
Or maybe he's a hippie deep down inside.
But he'll get rid of it for the money.
Is, though, right? Maybe he has to shave like 6 times a day to like keep it from growing out to what it is that we saw today.
This is the first time I've seen Joshua Gomez with a beard.
That was insane.
Yeah.
There was like a triple or something
It's like, if you ever seen that episode of Family Guy where Peter grows a beard.
Oh, yeah, and the nest of birds.
go into it. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on from Family Guy, I think, and let's just go.
So what was the great thing that came after Family Guy?
Oh, I heard it was so awesome.
The Cleveland show. Spinoff of Family Guy.
Let's take the character.
Very mixed race, like very diverse show.
Very diverse.
Let's take,
makes no sense.
Yeah, it's the whole thing where it's like, let's take the least interesting character and spin him off. It worked for Frasier, right?
It did work for Frasier.
It did work. And Frasier was pretty much one of the least interesting characters in Cheers. But in this case, let's take the least interesting character of our cartoon, who we haven't really bothered to develop at all, and
just surround him by far more interesting people.
Who aren't really even that much more interesting. Well, they kind of did. Didn't they really kind of develop him by, like, Quagmire sleeping with his wife and, he's like all upset, and now I'm leaving.
I think that was just to get him off the show. That was the development.
Okay.
So yeah. I'll explain a bit more, which is, okay, so he basically ends up staying with this family. I think it's like his high school sweetheart or something like that.
It's his high school crush.
High school crush. Okay. And she already has a husband and kids.
I don't think she has a husband.
She has an ex-husband.
Ex-husband who is still around. Okay, and he still ends up staying with the family because they need a father figure or whatever, and so he just assumes that he's it. And then, like, they have a neighbor that's a bear and his wife.
Real bear. Yeah, an actual bear. Like a Ukrainian bear.
And she was actually voiced by Seth MacFarlane.
He
has another one that's, like, some rich mama's boy. That's, like, really, really white guy. And then his other neighbor is this, like, hick.
Yeah, like a redneck hick.
It's like, why would there be, like, this grouping of people...
In this neighborhood.
Or why would there be this grouping of people ever?
Yeah.
Right.
You can at least believe the Family Guy thing where it's just four guys. But, you know, in this case, they tried to turn up the weirdness factor to...
Right? It's like...
Not even 11. They tried to push it up to, like, 13. It's like, oh yeah. I live next to a dancing bear, a redneck with a shotgun, and
a yuppie.
a rich yuppie who lives with his mother.
Nice.
So yeah, not looking forward to the Cleveland show. Sorry, guys.
Okay, then let's talk about the Futurama panel, you guys.
They didn't have any of the voice actors.
I was so surprised.
Yeah, so my theory goes out the window because it's totally true, and I can't even believe that.
Okay, so let's talk about the news first. Like,
so Fox is unable to come to terms with the voice actors for Futurama at the moment. They cost too much, according to what Fox has in mind for what they are worth.
And they're trying to cast
new voices for the new season.
And we thought this was a rumor, by the chance. We were like,
well, Kevin thought it was a gimmick.
Well, it was a rumor for a while, and then it sort of got confirmed. And then we knew that this upcoming panel would be the real, true confirmation. And yes, I thought it was a gimmick. I thought it was just going to be like, haha, we got you guys. But no,
Matt Groening
it's
came
dead
out and said,
serious.
Yeah, Matt Groening came out and he said, all right, I know what you guys have heard, and I would like to say this. We at Futurama love our voice actors, and we really hope that Fox signs them again.
And that was it. And that was when we left.
That was when we left.
Did people boo?
No.
In the beginning, so they opened the panel with Hypnotoad, right, on the projectors, and they're like, Hypnotoad says, you will not be upset that there are no voice actors here today. And then everyone was like, aww. And he's like, you will not be upset. And then, you know, people kind of chuckled at
then
it
they
because
showed
it's Hypnotoad.
Then they showed a DB
well,
Extra story.
Basically the voice, quote unquote, was David X. Cohen just in the backstage talking to him.
The only thing we got was the voice of Amy on a DVD extra. And they showed us that, like, the behind the scenes. And then they came out with the writers and they're like, let's show you the real behind the scenes of stuff we've written on index cards and napkins at 2 a.m. while we're in writing discussions. And, yeah, we couldn't get out of the door fast enough.
But the first extra they had was actually pretty funny. Like, the one, I think her name was Lauren Tom,
actress of Amy.
So, like, basically, first it starts with the writers, and then
this is their fake behind the scenes.
Writers, and they open the door, and you see, like, Lauren Tom is just at a computer, and it goes, our already team consists of Lauren Tom, and it's just like, it's just her typing away, and he goes, like, and then goes into the animation, and he goes, like, and then, like, she's, and then, like, it's just her
drawing on a roll of toilet paper.
And then, like, the next
And now we
like,
record the voices.
And it's just her doing all the voices.
It was pretty funny, but, you know, it's not something I would watch again.
Yeah.
So that was the Futurama thing. And then we got in line for Iron Man 2 panels in advance and still didn't get in.
Yeah.
2 panels in advance?
Really? 2 panels.
Extract and Sony.
We got cut off right before Extract, and then no one else got let in for Zombieland in 2012.
Weird. Because we were in line 2 panels.
Well, no. We got in 20 minutes before Extract started.
So you probably, last line they let in.
We waltzed in.
There was nobody there.
Well, no, that's why we got into line. Because you know how usually the line for Hall H is like 8 rows deep at the very least, right?
Yeah.
We looked outside when we were coming out of Ballroom 20 and we're like, wow, the line's only 2 rows deep. So we like rushed down there, we got into the line and we were in the second line. And they took the people in line one in, and then they took half the people in our line in.
Oh, we were in line one, probably.
Well, no, they
were... No. No. We were still...
Probably different from your line.
Yeah, we were still in for, like, half of the previous panel before Extract as well.
Yeah, like, halfway through Extract, they brought in another line, and then that was it for the next two
hours. Yeah, it was just because every single time a panel ended, we didn't see anyone really leave.
They were waiting for Iron Man. Yeah. So we could talk about our day. So,
yeah, you guys can talk about Hall H.
Let's hear about
Extract.
Online.
So Extract looks fine. Mike Judge is kind of boring.
We should talk about the half one that we saw.
So yeah, we saw a half one for... God, I don't even remember the name of the...
But the cool thing is the guy from Rome was there. And I was
the guy that plays Mark Antony from Rome was the star.
And everyone was just talking about Rome, really. Not even about the movie.
Yeah. Everyone went up like, so when you were in Rome...
Well, didn't that happen for the Extract panel too? You guys were talking about how Jason Bateman
No. There was a good variety. There was half Mike Judge, half Arrested Development kind of questions.
Got it. Okay.
They kind of skipped over Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, other than to say, like, you're pretty.
Hot. Yeah. But, like, it was interesting. Like, they went up. I didn't know he directed Beavis and Butthead, but there are a lot of questions about Beavis and Butthead and how he's going to go back to animation. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike Judge? Yeah.
Yeah, he did Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill.
Before he was, from the guy who gave you Office Space, he was Office Space. From the guy who gave you
Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, I remember those ads, and I was like, why would I want to watch this then? But that panel was just kind of bland. There was nothing really that special.
Mike Judd was not that interesting. I was really surprised.
Nobody seemed like they really wanted to be there, except for Jason Bateman, but he just flew in, and he had 1 hour of sleep.
He looked crazy. He was like...
So he wasn't even on the ambient high. He was just on the, like, crazy high.
Yeah, he was just like, once this hour's over, I can sleep.
I'm going crazy. But the clips were good. I was interested to see the movie after the clips, for sure.
It was followed by the Sony panel for both Zombieland and 2012.
Zombieland looks so... I thought it was interesting.
I think it looks like something worth seeing with your friends on an opening night, Friday night. And it's coming out in October, too. So cool,
who's directing it?
A guy I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
From the clips we've seen, it looks capable. So it looks totally fine. Woody Harrelson.
Okay. What, any writers of note or anything, or just actors?
Woody Harrelson is the biggest star of it. I'm just all of a sudden blanking on the main other actor, but he's also from Adventureland and also The Squid and the Whale, so both two very small films as well.
Interesting.
But it's basically a journey about this guy who's like a hunter and like this kid that follows him around, it feels like, right? Like they're just coming together.
Yeah, it's very much an homage to zombie fans. The whole point of it is just to appeal to zombie fans.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's no way is it totally different vein of like than a George Romero type.
Yeah, it's the intent of it is to be as fun as possible.
It's very fun, very gory, very. It's a lot of funny scenes.
Yeah, I can definitely see a lot of general audiences getting into zombies from this film more than a lot of the other ones, like the Dawn of the Dead remake that Zack Snyder made. 2012 still looks terrible, and that's because I don't like Roland Emmerich. And
who is
really,
he? I don't know.
Independence Day.
Yeah, he's a
Godzilla.
Day After Tomorrow.
He just makes disaster movies.
10,000.
And the thing is, they don't look good, 10,000 BC, and they never look good. They always look half-assed.
You mean half the CG? Like, it's all CG.
But the people keep coming. The clip he did show was pretty fun. It looked like something you would see in, like, an amusement park.
John Cusack is in this movie. I kind of want to see it just for him, but I don't know. Maybe.
It just looks like the usual trash you would expect from Roland Emmerich.
So this is John Cusack slumming again, like in Con Air, huh?
Yeah.
What's
that? Why can't he just do romantic comedies?
He's trying to expand. 1408 was not bad.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't call that a romantic comedy.
Does Gross Point Blank count as a romantic comedy?
Yes,
yeah, of course.
Totally. Really ballpoint pens in the throat.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally a romantic.
Poison in people's mouths. Yes. Wonderful.
Yes, but he falls in love.
The girl. Got the girl.
And he hits Dan Aykroyd with a TV.
You could still be in
so romantic.
You could be in a romantic comedy and be badass.
Just like Clint Eastwood in The Bridges of Madison County.
Exactly. Yeah, or like Old Boy.
Old Boy? No!
Or like Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
There's nothing wrong with Golden Boy.
All right, so that wraps up Sony. So the big event that everyone's waiting for was Iron Man 2.
I hated the MC. Oh my god. Okay, so John Favreau comes out and he shows his video and looks like crap. And we're like, okay, they just finished Principal Photography. They didn't do anything. And then Robert Downey Jr. comes out and is like, hey, no. People here are waiting to see something good. And you show him that crap? He was all acting like Tony Stark. And then he showed the real clip. And it looked amazing.
So in the
I'm just gonna be here off to the side stabbing myself while Lita gushes.
No.
We get to see Tony Stark in his Iron Man suit talking to Samuel L. Jackson.
God, in the very beginning.
He was like sitting on this donut, just chilling out with his like helmet off
and eating a donut. Right. I read the article.
Oh, my knees.
and then after that, we got to see some footage of Scarlett Johansson in the Black Widow costume.
Oh, my wrists. Why did they have to stab them?
And you see and Tony Stark, like, you know, yelling at Congress and stuff like that.
Yeah, he has a debate in...
doesn't the Congressperson tell him to F off?
Yes, it's Gary Shandling, and he says, supposed to hand over...
Why do I have to stab it?
We have to hand over the Iron Man weapon because it's a weapon, and Tony Stark's like, no, I use it as a prosthetic device or something like that.
The best quote was like, I privatized world peace.
Yes.
It was like awesome.
Then we get to see Mickey Rourke put together his own version of the same technology and become Whiplash. We see that he kicks Tony Stark's ass at some sort of promotional event. And then finally...
Oh my god, finally!
Hold on, okay, so the knife is at my neck right now.
So finally, we get a really awesome scene of Iron Man flying around, being like shot at by all these missiles and stuff. He's dodging and weaving and everything. It looks really good, even though you know the effects are not done. Then we cut to black.
We see Mr. Hammer? Was his name?
Justin Hammer?
Justin Hammer, Sam Rockwell come up, and we see Rhodey, and then we see the Mark II suit on a table.
And then all the weapons are coming out.
And Justin Hammer keeps taking out all these different weapons until he takes out the minigun, and you know where this is going.
And he's like, so which one do you want to buy? The colonel says, I'll take it. And he's like,
and he says, which one? And he's like, all of it. And then you see War Machine, all the weapons going off in every direction. It's like,
superior tech.
And I grab Lita and I go, oh, shit. It was, you know, I got excited from the Star Wars in concert thing. I got excited from Avatar. This was actually, and I hate saying this because I know you guys didn't get to see it, but it was the coolest thing I saw at the con this year.
Sorry.
But the thing is, this footage will be on YouTube if you really want to, you know, like watch the grainy version. But I'm sure a trailer is going to be out soon.
Because it looks almost done. Like
because
the trailer looks...
they finished Principal Photography 4 days ago. A lot of these shots are edited like you would see in the movie. Actually,
on the movie,
wow. It looks like it looks pretty close to ready for a lot of these regular live action shots.
All right, Kevin, are you going to clean up that puddle of Dom's blood or what?
It was worth it.
It's getting into the sheets.
Well, the things when they came out, oh my god, like the stars that came out, I couldn't believe everyone was there. It was Robert Downey Jr., it was Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle,
and Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell!
And even Sam Rockwell introduced as the star of Moon, the great movie that all of you guys should see. So now that we have all your favorite guest hosts around the table and one bleeding in the corner.
Dude, you're a Japanese horror film ready made.
So we finally did...
Dude, is that a segment of scrotum?
Ew! Oh my god.
It's a nugget of scrotum.
That's nothing a little taint needle can fix.
We'll never escape my scrotums.
Until the Iron Man 2 trailer comes out and you get to see the exact same thing.
Don't worry, I have my tape needle powers.
The one thing I really want to tell you guys from this panel is that the movie looks like it's going in the right direction.
It's going really good.
And it's not doing this whole, let's be dark thing. It's still that kind of a bit colorful, a bit fun.
And John Favreau really cares about like the fans. He's making sure like he brings you good stuff to what Comic Con.
And that is John Favreau's style.
He's really
that very Zathura style.
Yeah.
Zathura. Let's forget about Zathura, can't we, for a second?
I remember that was one of those movies we tried to watch and we just couldn't make it.
See, and people lined up, and John Favreau was so nice. He went straight to questions after the trailer. It was
like, yeah. He basically cut off the moderator and said, "None of this crap. We want to talk to you."
Nice.
And then everyone ran up. I ran up too, so I could get a closer picture. And I snuck over to the middle and saw Robert Downey Jr. He was 20 feet away, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
He looked really good.
He looked really good. He looked.
He had the hair done. He had the cool shades. The suit with the like with this really cool like decoration
Don't
on his tie.
Don't give me that rusty fork.
Oh my god, he was so hot.
You can't ask the dead to do stuff for you unless we're in Zombieland.
We
finally ended with Kevin Smith, which is actually a really good panel this year because he didn't have some sort of film to show off.
He was so mellow.
He said that he didn't want to bring a film to show off.
Yeah, so we actually got the whole hour and a half of him just answering questions. And he got really mellow. In the beginning, he was a bit still the usual one. He talked about a joke in which a whole bunch of gay hockey players release themselves into the Stanley Cup and then pour it all over some
Ew.
Guy. And he did the motions and stuff, too. He was like...
not a Kevin Smith
Stanley
panel
Cup, that's soccer, right?
Just
that is so true.
Semen is an S-word. I'm sure if we ever brought Kevin Smith on this show, that's what it would turn into. Because every time I have ever listened to that man... He spends at least 10 minutes talking about...
Oh, yeah. Last year, he talked about dog semen.
He did not talk about dom semen.
Dog semen.
He did talk about
dog semen for 15 minutes.
Just wait till he comes on the show. He'll talk about dom semen.
And if you get the latest evening with Kevin Smith, you could hear him talk about that for like a good half an hour at least.
Yeah.
He talks about getting high all the time, too. Like he apparently never did weed until now. Apparently.
Apparently.
But no, the whole time he talked mostly about Twilight and how, like, you should not diss Twilight fans because in the future that they're the new generation of geeks. Like, that was us when we liked Star Wars, apparently.
Yes, he was saying, like, you know that guy that you see dressed up as a Wookiee that you point at and laugh at? 20 years from now, Twilight fans will get that same punishment.
Well, also, this is the thing, is that as much as people complained about Twihards, I had much more hate in my heart for all those people who camped Hall H 4 hours for Iron Man because there were more of them.
Yeah, okay. I have to say that more people are getting smarter about getting there earlier and earlier for Hall H because even I was kind of surprised that, you know, for me, my estimate was 1.5 panels and it actually turned out you needed 2.5.
That was
so. Yeah.
You got there at 2.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, because you guys were gambling. You guys didn't know.
If we had known there were going to be no voice actors for Futurama, we would have left after the Family Guy panel. But no, we had to suffer through the Cleveland show.
Yeah, that was about like 45 minutes wasted right there.
Yeah.
And also, that was actually a full hour wasted because then there was the 15 minutes of prep.
It's so it's so easy to sneak people in a ballroom 20.
Ballroom 20 is, really easy to sneak people in.
But like not Hall H. They're like tight on that security.
Well, they have to be tight on that security because if they're not tight on security, the studios won't come back. Exactly. Disney especially. Disney, if any footage gets leaked from Disney, they won't come back.
Wasn't there footage leaked from Disney?
Yes.
Last year.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They know it will happen as long as they're trying their best. As they see that Comic-Con is trying their best to keep it as minimal as possible. Like, they can understand, you know, there's, like, how many, like, 6,000 people in that room. They can't police every single one of them.
Yeah, it's too much.
So they know it's at least someone who's going to get out. They accept it.
It's a matter of good faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, this year was the first time where, like, the rightmost, like, corner back was completely full.
Yeah.
For, like the Miramax panel, like, you know, no one left. No one left at all.
Also, I lost my train of thought when I was talking, but my point was that the thing is, like, Disney needed the promotion with the Comic Con more than Comic Con needed Disney. Because Comic Con could have easily replaced it with something else.
Right. Yeah, there were other things that were pushed off to other rooms as well. Yeah.
I'm surprised people waited at 6 a.m. for Lost.
They usually do, though.
Yeah.
They don't camp overnight, but they wait pretty early for Lost.
And I'm surprised, like, on Saturday, usually there's, like, three main things that people go to and then leave. This time, it was only Lost and Iron Man, and then no one, like, everyone stayed up to Iron Man.
All right, so, you know, the con is pretty much wrapped up. What did you guys think about it this year? Can you sum it up pretty quickly about
crazy
what you thought it was like?
My feet hurt.
This was my first time going, and I definitely wish I planned a little better.
That's why you gotta stay with us, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we're much better.
Veterans. Actually, we all had itineraries.
This is the first year I really realized that, yeah, I'm starting to figure out how things go. I know that Song is really good at it.
Yeah.
I usually ask Song.
Well, the thing is, like, it's just getting more and more insane. Like, when we left Futurama panel, I thought we had plenty of time to get into Iron Man. I was wrong.
Meanwhile, usually I'm a floor wanderer for San Diego Comic-Con. And there's just too many people now.
Yeah, it feels like... To wander the floor.
Well, it's not that there's too many people. It's just that they all concentrate too much.
Yeah, like the dealer's
around
room.
Certain parts.
Everyone like crowds around the Warner Brothers to get the free stuff, and like it's hard to get around them. And
right.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, Paramount, like Marvel too. Marvel had a stage area, and it was mostly pretty empty, but they always had something going on that had a bunch of people leaking out into the aisleways, taking pictures of crap.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
That's why I usually stay over by the designer toy area.
It's also why if I ever explore the dealer's room, I always do it on the first.
Yeah, Wednesday was actually good because of that. You remember the Star Trek captain's chair? We walked right up to it. I was like, "Yeah, take my picture." But you had to wait quite a bit of a time, right?
About a 10-minute line. The line moves really fast for that because it's get in, take a picture or go straight through, get your free thing, and then go out.
Nice. So here's an amusing story I remember, which is, it was told during the Stargate panel, which is like, two of the actors, like, these are all most of them are fairly unknown actors. And so basically two of them, was a guy and a girl, they were walking in the dealer's room and they saw the Stargate, booth. Like, let's take a picture in front of the Stargate, because they had like a kind of a Stargate, fake Stargate thing.
Yeah.
That you take a picture out of. And then, like, people, like, they're like, yeah, it's, like, really silly idea, since we're on the show, and we want to do this. But then, like, they're saying, like, yeah, the booth woman, like, came up to us, and she goes, like, oh, so do you want to enter this raffle? If you win, you get to meet the cast. You get a guest star in an episode.
What?
Wow.
Nice. I guess they knew what they were doing.
And then the executive producer's like, yeah, and you won. Nice.
Yeah, I find that if you don't go to the dealer's room either on the first day, then it's actually kind of good to go at the end of the day. Like, you know, like 20 minutes before it closes, and everyone's just exiting because, you know, they keep announcing dealer's room is closing in 15 minutes or whatever. And then people are leaving, but then all the booths are empty and they're open for another 15 minutes. You can run around the entire place for 15 minutes.
The first 30 minutes or so of the hall is also like that because everybody's making a beeline toward all the giveaways.
Right.
And so if you actually know where you want to go, you just go there.
Definitely.
It's like, hey, look, nobody's here yet. Awesome.
I hate going to the giveaways because usually all that stuff I just end up throwing away anyway.
Yeah, really.
So I'm just sort of like, oh, I don't want to wait in line for this.
I'll say that the 24 giveaway is actually pretty cool. And so is the Astro Boy one. The Astro Boy was a t-shirt. And I don't care about the bag, but they also give you a bag.
You got a t-shirt?
Yeah, the t-shirt's actually
getting scarcer and scarcer every year.
24, it was actually a giveaway from the panel itself, but it's basically an alarm clock. I mean, it's kind of a cheap alarm clock, but it's 24 branded and everything.
Nice.
To the little countdown.
No, I asked.
No.
Did not.
Way too fancy there.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right, so anyone have any closing thoughts before we wrap up this year's San Diego Comic-Con? We've recorded a lot of content here. I'd like to thank Dom for viewing a lot of those interviews.
Yay!
I ended up with 4 of them. I can probably get some more next year, so.
Yeah, awesome. Next year, we'll actually have proper recording equipment for you ready as well.
All right. Instead of your Dota mount, your Dota microphone?
Yes.
Hey, it's better than nothing. We had to start somewhere.
Nothing, so
that
thank
and my
you
netbook.
For...
And
yes,
at least
Amy...
you didn't have to lug around Kevin's Big Mac. So there
you go. Amy, thank you for the netbook. Kevin, thank you for the microphone. Thanks, everybody, for being such a great sport about me taking some time out of your very busy sales day to get me in your face for 15 minutes. And also, a big shout-out to Ian McConville, who is part of the Darkstalkers tribute art book. You can find him on the best page of the book, page 69. I'm kidding about that. That's the page they gave me.
Who did he draw?
He drew Bletta, Sasquatch, and I think one more character I can't remember.
Cool.
I think San Diego Comic Con needs to expand or something.
The San Diego Convention Center?
Yeah, yeah.
Vegas.
Vegas!
Yeah, that or severely limit the numbers.
Well, they already limit the number.
We need to cap it lower.
Cap it lower, I mean.
Oh.
I don't think they can do
that. They can do that.
Pre-reg now, kids.
Yeah, pre-reg now. Get your hotel.
Or get into the industry. Become a professional.
You'll still have a pain in the ass time trying to get a hotel.
Yes.
And yes, being a professional is very vague, apparently.
No, it's actually very specific.
It's very specific.
Really?
It's very specific if you go to the website and they have a process of
verification.
Wow. No, I...
A long time ago, it was very vague. Like, you could be an intern and they wouldn't care.
Really?
But nowadays, they've become more and more strict about
it. Yeah. Before, it was E3 standards from the pre-shakedown, where it was like, oh yeah, my cousin works at GameStop. No, I'm serious. Yeah. There were a lot of people there at E3 with my cousin works at GameStop. These days, it's like the more modern E3, which is, are you in? No? Screw you then.
Yeah, you have to be like an editor, you have to be an artist. You have
writer.
To write a writer, like, or an executive position, stuff like that. Like, you can't just be a support. Like, you can't be HR.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else have any closing thoughts?
My shout out is to two restaurants we've been to, here at San Diego. The first was Phil's Barbecue, which was very meaty and very, very, very good.
I love the bone.
Yes.
You do love the bone, don't you, Kevin?
Sorry.
Their beefy barbecue ribs were awesome.
Yeah, their baby back ribs were also pretty awesome. Stay away from the chicken, though. Chicken's dry.
Okay, and the second one, which is one we just got back from a few hours ago.
Hash House.
Hash House a Go-Go.
It was very good. Very big portion. Yes.
Do not eat the entire day if you're going to go eat there for dinner.
Dude, Kevin bought a meat, like a pork dish, and gave a whole side of corn on the cob, the whole thing.
Yeah, the side is an entire ear of corn.
Awesome.
The pork tenderloin is actually pork tenderloins on top of a lot of mashed potatoes, and the dish was one of the largest I've ever seen in my life.
Like, we were walking past the table with, I think it was one of the pasta bowls, and the bowl is freaking huge.
Yeah, it looks like if you go to... You know, some people have those new modern kind of sinks where rather than it being a sink, there's a bowl on top of the table.
That was the bowl.
It's like that size.
That was
Yes, it was the size of an entire sink.
So, yeah. Tony.
We're doing this next year, right? Hash House?
I like it.
I think next time we should order two dishes and just share.
And also, if they ever tell you to go to the tractor room,
they're
don't
lying.
Don't lie. Don't go. They're lying.
It is a sister restaurant, but the thing is, like, it has similar style of food, but...
It's so small.
Portions are much, much smaller, but and it's a hipster bar.
You just go for the cocktails.
A lot less food.
Meanwhile, Chris, Amy, and I went to Zanzibar.
That's good.
Delicious.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's
pretty
very good. Fresh. It tasted very organic.
Made me think of Tenacious D.
Yes, that it did.
You need to salt their fries.
I'm sorry. Really? You don't have any salt?
What does that mean, Chris?
To salt your fries.
I'll salt your fries.
Very sexy.
Oh, if it's you, Dom, sure.
You're so excited sounding.
He sounds like Kevin Smith after Jackie Mary.
That's a sexy voice, Dom.
Like, yeah, don't you know?
When Dom salts your fries, you get a free helping of protein.
Protein shake, baby. It's my special.
Ejaculus!
If he's a vegetarian, will it taste better?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, is it considered a living thing?
What?
I think so.
Yeah, it's living for a little while.
What?
What?
Song knows what I'm talking about. Good night, everybody!
Bye.
Good night.
Hey, Kevin's mic is fine.
Hello.
Maybe we're mixed a little too high.
Lower.
Hello. Hey.
Whoa.
Okay, we are
naked. Peanut
butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly.
Oh. I was too far away.
With the baseball bat.
Hello, 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 hello.
I can't even tell how this thing is on.
Okay. We are mixed. It's just
because it's
the
powered
way
by
we
USB.
To...
Oh, okay.
Or actually it's powered through the game.
Yeah, we have a this new yeah, thing. This USB input for the mixer.
It means that he will much less often forget to plug in the
Phantom power. Phantom, the power of phantoms.
Who knows what lies in the hearts of men? Oh, wait, that's the shadow. The phantom stalks the jungles of Africa, right?
Yes.
Purple.
He's Barry Zane with Catherine Zeta-Jones in a role that none of you remember.
Phantom 2040, right?
Sure.
Oh.
It was just the Phantom.
Oh,
was
it?
Yeah, it was
the game.
Phantom.
The Super Nintendo game was Phantom 2040.
Oh, wait, Phantom 2040 was also
Phantom,
a cartoon series.
Which was.
Yes, yes, you're right.
Which was the Ben Affleck.
Welcome to the S Force Podcast. Let's start it.
Let's start it up. Let's hope sound comes out fine with you guys. Let's just turn everyone up a little bit more. Hey, guys, we're turned up a little bit more. More. This is good.
Okay.
Good
more,
volume.
More. Lita's almost there.
I'm gonna smack you, man.
I already got her there several times, you know.
Oh,
today?
Yeah, multiple.
I'm a professional.